Well, good evening. If you would turn with me in your Bibles tonight to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. This evening we come to one of the most familiar and beloved of all the Psalms, Psalm 23. The great Baptist preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon called Psalm 23 the Pearl of the Psalms. This psalm is known by many in the church. It's known by many outside of the church. In fact, I suspect that a few of you have this psalm memorized. You have memorized this psalm probably from your childhood on up. In fact, I suspect that a few of you have this psalm memorized in the King James Version. I could ask a few of you, you would probably recite it back to me in the King James. You've probably heard this psalm preached on the Lord's Day. Maybe you've heard this psalm preached at a funeral service. And so this is a psalm that we are familiar with, that we know well, but we want to come and consider this portion of the Word of God together tonight. Again, as I mentioned a moment ago, many outside of the church even have a vague familiarity with the language of Psalm 23. This psalm is often misinterpreted and misunderstood. And so my prayer tonight is that we would be able to look at Psalm 23 with fresh spiritual eyes. My prayer is that we would first and primarily see the glory of God in Psalm 23. Because the psalmist tells us the purpose for why God acts towards us as a shepherd. He does all of these things for his name's sake. He's telling us about the purpose of God's work towards us as his people. The purpose of his work towards us as his saints. It is for his glory, for his name's sake. Now we're going to read this psalm in just a moment. And if you are in Christ, if you have come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to think about how David's words apply to you. Because David is writing in the first person. The Lord is my shepherd, as he will say. And so I want you to think about how David's words apply to you. I want you to appropriate Psalm 23 to yourself. So think about Psalm 23 in this way. Make David's prayer your own as we read these inspired words together. And so let's consider the Word of God. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The Word of God uses a number of different metaphors to describe Christ's relation to the church. The Bible tells us that Christ is the head of the church, and that the church is the body of Christ. The Bible tells us that Christ is the bridegroom of the church, and that the church is the bride of Christ. The Bible tells us that Christ is the servant of the church. He comes as the suffering servant of God. And one of the most frequent metaphors used for Christ's relationship to the church is that of shepherd. And that's what we see tonight in Psalm 23. As we will see in John chapter 10, according to our Lord's words, he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He is the great shepherd of the sheep, as Hebrews 13 tells us. He is the shepherd and guardian of our souls, as 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us. And so Psalm 23 is therefore a uniquely Christian psalm. This is a Christian psalm. Think about David's words. Think about how David is praying here, how he's giving glory to God. And so David expresses confidence in the Lord as his shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I'm a part of his flock. And this teaches us, church, that the Lord is the shepherd of his people, that he protects us, that he provides for us, that he guides us, and that he watches over us at all times. And so this is what David is praying. This is what David is communicating to us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as he is writing these words. And so notice with me tonight our first point. Notice where David begins in Psalm 23. He begins with the shepherd of the flock in verse 1. And this is our first point tonight. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, before we come to the application of David's words, I want you to think about the reason that David uses this metaphor. David himself was a shepherd before God called him from the pasture to become the king of Israel. David was a shepherd. While living in the house of Jesse, David was tasked with keeping watch over the flocks. And it was while tending Jesse's flock that David was called into service by God. We have this said of David in Psalm 78 and verse 71. God took David from shepherding in the fields of obscurity to the height of Israel. He took him from being a meager shepherd who was staying out in the fields, keeping watch over the sheep, to become the king of Israel. And of course, much of his work as the king of Israel was shepherding work. It was the work of a shepherd. And so God made David both king and shepherd of Israel. But as David himself tells us, there is one who is greater than him. What does he say of the Lord? He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." At this time, if David had become king by this time, there was no one in Israel who was more powerful than David. But David says of another, "He is my shepherd." And he speaks of the Lord here. David says, "The Lord," or Yahweh, "is my shepherd." David invokes the divine covenant name of God in his prayer here. He doesn't merely speak of God in generic terms. He uses God's covenant name, God's unique name, his divine name. And this points us to the unity of God's being. It points us to his self-existence. It points us to his immutability. The divine name indicates all of those things to us. We see this name first mentioned in the account of Exodus chapter 3, where God comes to Moses and he speaks to him in the burning bush. Listen as I read a few verses from Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. "Then Moses said to God, 'If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you.' God also said to Moses, 'Say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" And so this, church, is the one that David speaks of, that he writes about, of whom he says, "This one is my shepherd. The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd." Notice what David goes on to say. Notice the subtlety of his words here. Again, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He says he is my shepherd. David confidently says, "The one who is from everlasting to everlasting is my Lord and my shepherd." Charles Spurgeon says, "The sweetest word in Psalm 23 is that monosyllable, my. The Lord is my shepherd." Christian, you ought to say the same thing if you are in Christ. The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. The triune God is your shepherd. Say this, pray this, believe this along with the psalmist. Say, "Yahweh is my God. The Lord is my God. He is my shepherd." If you are in Christ, you are a part of his flock. He is the one who leads you and guides you and watches over you and protects you. He is yours, and you are his. David goes on to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." This indicates to us that we should not try to be our own shepherds. And we oftentimes do this in life, don't we? We oftentimes try to shepherd ourselves. But David says that we should pray something different, that we should believe something different, we should live something different. God is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. We should not try to lead ourselves in this life. Spurgeon again says this, no one can trust providence till he distrusts himself. And no one can say, the Lord is my shepherd, until he has given up every idle notion that he can control himself or manage his own interests. You cannot say, the Lord is my shepherd, while you are trying to shepherd your own life. That's what Spurgeon is saying. You have to give up every idle notion that you are your own person. If you are in Christ, you belong to the shepherd. If you are in Christ, you belong to the master. You belong to the creator of all the universe. You are his. He is your shepherd. And in fulfillment of Psalm 23, we learn in John chapter 10 that Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. And so hold your place in Psalm 23 and turn over with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I want you to notice with me tonight how the Lord Jesus draws upon the imagery of a shepherd in John chapter 10 in one of these great I am statements. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 11, I'll read through verse 16. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Here, as Jesus says these words, he must have Psalm 23 in his mind. He must have all of those Old Testament references to the Lord as the shepherd of his people in his mind, as he is self-consciously fulfilling the Old Testament scripture. And he's doing so, making a connection, I believe, with Exodus 3 and verse 14, as we read it a moment ago. One of those great I am statements. You see, these I am statements that we find in the Gospel of John especially, they hearken back to Exodus 3:14 and the God who said to Moses in the burning bush, I am who I am. And so the Lord Jesus in this passage is showing us who he is. He's showing us that he is the God who spoke to Moses in the burning bush. He is the great I am. He's showing us that he is the God who has always shepherded Israel. This is the God who is speaking to us in John chapter 10. And so our Lord is here asserting his deity. He's asserting his divinity. He's communicating something very important to us in this passage. And he's reminding us that there is no other Lord, there is no other good shepherd, there is no one who has this title, who has this office, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, what does our Lord teach us? He teaches us that he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He is the great shepherd of the sheep and the guardian of our souls. And so this is the one that David refers to in Psalm 23. As David's psalm looks ahead to the good shepherd that's revealed to us here in John chapter 10. Well, let's turn back over in our Bibles to Psalm 23 and consider now in the second place the the shepherd's tending, the shepherd's tending. We see this in the second half of verse 1 all the way through verse 4. After the first line of his prayer, David explains how the Lord is a shepherd to his people. He's told us that he is his shepherd, but now he goes on to explain how the Lord is a shepherd to his people. He supplies, he provides, he restores, he leads, he guides, he protects, and he blesses. And we need Christ as our shepherd. Why? Because we are defenseless, because we are vulnerable, because we are foolish, because we are wandering sheep. We need this shepherd. And so we may say with David, because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does David mean by these words? We easily confuse wants for needs, don't we? In fact, I suspect that a few of you in this room have had those kind of conversations with your kids. We confuse wants for needs. We think we need a lot of things that we don't actually need in this life. But this is a reminder to us. David's words are an inspired reminder to us that if we have Christ, there is nothing in this life that we are lacking. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's nothing that I lack." You have everything you need in Christ. If you lose everything that you possess, if you lose all of your material possessions, if you lose your health, your spouse, if you lose all that you have and still have Christ, you have everything that you need. This is how Paul argues in Philippians chapter 1 and Philippians chapter 2. He says these words in Philippians 1 and verse 21. He says, "For me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." He says in Philippians 3, 7 and 8, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ." You see, this is the assurance that we possess in Christ. The psalmist's assurance is our assurance in Christ. Paul's assurance is our assurance in Christ. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." David goes on to say, "The Lord, our shepherd, he makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. He provides rest and safety and nourishment to us from his word and by the help of his spirit." Jesus says in John 6 and verse 35, he says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." You see, the Lord is the one who feeds us upon himself. He feeds us from his word. He feeds us by the help and by the power of his Holy Spirit. And when we come to Christ, we will never thirst. We find our rest and our safety and our refuge in him. The psalmist goes on to say this, that the Lord restores our souls. He restores our souls. I wonder, have you wandered from the flock? Have you gone away from Christ's flock? If you have fallen away from the flock, the shepherd will restore you. This is the promise that we have in God's word. Turn with me for a second to Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. This is the text that Roman read for us just a few minutes ago. As our Lord tells a parable, this applies to his ministry over us as our shepherd. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. "Now all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you that in the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." You see, this is what Christ does for us when we wander away. He restores us to the flock. He restores our souls. He picks us up, as it were, on his shoulders, and he brings us back to the flock. This is what Christ does for us. So in Christ, you can be restored from your backsliding ways. If you have wandered away from the people of God, if you have fallen into grievous sin that nobody knows about, you can be restored. Christ will forgive you if you will but repent and turn to him. He will receive you back into his fold because his grace is sufficient. The Lord also guides us in the paths of righteousness. As we turn back to Psalm 23, the Lord guides us in the paths of righteousness. As the chief shepherd, Jesus leads us in the path of righteousness by his example and by his word. How do we know how to live righteously in this life? We know how to live righteously in this life by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Apostle Paul tells us we should imitate. We should follow his holy example. The Lord Jesus Christ is righteousness to us. He is our salvation. He is redemption. He is salvation. He is sanctification. He is all of these things to us. And so if we will learn to live righteous and holy lives, we must look to the example of our Savior. We must look to the instruction that he gives us in his word. According to his word, he guides us, he leads us in the paths of righteousness. The psalmist tells us in verse 4 that the Lord is with his people. And here's another comforting reminder for us as the people of God. The Lord is with us. Notice with me verse 4. The psalmist says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You have to wonder in David's own life what stood behind these words. What circumstances in David's life brought about such confidence? There were times where David was in the valley of the shadow of death, when he was on the run for his life from King Saul, who tried to pin him to the wall with a spear, where he was hiding in caves. David was in the valley when his kingdom was torn apart by Absalom's rebellion. He's walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And yet he says, "I fear no evil." Why? Because you are with me. Maybe, just maybe, you are in the valley right now. Maybe you are in the valley of the shadow of death at this present moment. Maybe fear from life circumstances has overtaken you. Maybe you are depressed or anxious. Maybe you are not sleeping well. But even when you are in the valley of the shadow of death, you need not fear. You see, the psalmist's confidence is your confidence. Remember, as David teaches us here, that the shepherd is with you, even when you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, we have no promise in this life that we will not go through the valley of the shadow of death. The promise of God is that when we do, God will be with us. And the one who has defeated death itself promises that he will be with us when we go through this valley. Isaiah 7 and verse 14 tells us that the one who will come to shepherd his people, the good shepherd, his name is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, the good shepherd, is God in the flesh. He is God with us. When Christ was in the valley of the shadow of death, he feared not the evil of men. Why? Because he knew that God was with him. And the same comfort is ours, church. As one author says, it is no small comfort, especially in difficult and sad times, to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is looking after us as our wise and gentle leader, provider, and protector. And to remember that he is with us, even when we go through the valley of the shadow of death. Consider with me now, in the third and last place tonight, the Shepherd's Feast, verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6, now picture the Lord our shepherd as hosting a great feast. Psalm 23 and verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. You can rejoice even when your enemies surround you. Why? Because in Christ you lack nothing. A table has been prepared for you. You have been anointed with oil. Your cup runs over. You are blessed in excess, in abundance in Christ. The psalmist goes on in verse 6. He says, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I wonder, is Christ your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? Can you say what David says here in this psalm? Can you say, the Lord is my shepherd? Can you say confidently, along with David, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Can you say this? Is this true of you? If you will dwell in God's house forever, then you must have Christ as your shepherd. This is the only way that you can dwell in God's house forever. This is the only way that you can enjoy eternal happiness and blessedness in the presence of God. You must come to faith in Christ. And so today, if you hear the voice of the shepherd, do not turn away. Do not try to shepherd yourself. Do not run to another shepherd. Do not try to go to another flock, but come to Christ in faith, so that you might dwell in his house forever. And if you are in the shepherd's flock, if you have come under his kind and loving care, then surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Surely you will dwell in the house of God forever. Because the shepherd who died for your sins will also guard you to the end. He will also bring you into his everlasting kingdom. And for what purpose does the shepherd do all of these things for us? What is the purpose of his leading us as his people, as the flock? He does all of these things, as the psalmist tells us in verse 3, for his name's sake. He does all of these things for his glory and for his glory alone. Isaiah 42 and verse 8 says this, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. God will not share his glory with another. He is jealous, and rightly so, for his own glory. He does all of these things for his own name's sake. And so we have, in this one who is presented to us in Psalm 23, we have a faithful shepherd. We have a good shepherd. We have one who acts as a guardian over our souls. And how thankful we ought to be, church, for this encouraging reminder that comes to us in this ancient psalm that has been preserved for the church down through the ages. It reminds us of Christ's watchful care over us as his people. Christ knows the sheep. Christ feeds the sheep. Christ leads the sheep. Christ protects the sheep. And one day, the chief shepherd will return. One day, the chief shepherd will appear again. And on that day, there will be one church. There will be one glorious body of the elect gathered around the throne of God with one shepherd worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 7 and verse 17 tells us this: "For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." You see, this imagery of shepherd runs all the way through the Bible, doesn't it? And it will endure on into eternity, where one day we will be gathered around the throne of the Lamb. And we will come once again under the authority of the shepherd. There will be no distinctions among churches, but we will all be gathered as one people, the elect from every nation, around this great and glorious throne under the authority of this one shepherd. And so this is the glorious hope that awaits us in the new creation. This is what we have to look forward to when the chief shepherd appears once again. Now, having considered all these truths, let's read Psalm 23 once more tonight as we conclude. Again, having learned all these things, I want you to think about all that we've learned tonight. And again, if you are in Christ, appropriate this psalm to yourself. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. And think about these words. Meditate upon these words. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. O our God and our King, how we thank you that indeed you are our shepherd. You are the one who guides us, who protects us, who watches over us, who leads us beside still waters, who leads us to green pastures. Oh God, we thank you that you are our shepherd. And we bless you and we thank you for the good shepherd, the guardian of our souls, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you sent him for us and for our salvation. And how we pray, oh God, that you would help us to lean upon you at all times, to look to your shepherding care, to not try to shepherd ourselves, but to look to you as our great God and the good shepherd of the sheep. So we thank you, O Lord, for the comfort of this passage that you have given to us, for the good news that this word brings to our hearts. Would you help us, O Lord, to meditate upon these things and ultimately to glorify you as we pray together in Jesus' name. Amen.